This is Carl Johnson with an essay from The Back Page. The public fallout from a story that appeared in The Oklahoman, Oklahoma's largest state newspaper, reminds me of a couple of often used idiomatic expressions that evolved from the classic novel Don Quixote. Miguel de Cervantes, a Spanish author from the 16th century, wrote this romantic novel about a country gentleman named Alonso Quijano. And he read so many books about chivalry that he becomes deluded into thinking that he is actually a gallant knight. And he dubs himself Don Quixote. He sets out on an odyssey searching for adventure in hopes that he can win the love of a peasant neighbor girl who has no idea that Quixote has these feelings for her. At one point in the novel, Don Quixote sees windmills in the distance, and he imagines them to be giants, supposing the windmill's blades to be the giant's arms. He whips his horse toward the windmills with his lance in his hand with the intention of tilting or jousting with these giants. His lance is shattered as he stabs it into the first windmill blade, and Quixote and his horse are sent sprawling. It's from this episode that the expression tilting at windmills has evolved into an English idiom that means attacking imaginary enemies or fighting otherwise unwinnable battles. The term quixotic has come to mean idealistic in an impractical way. These expressions come to my mind as I observe the responses that I've read in the Oklahoman since this January the 26th, 2008 blockbuster news story that the Quail Springs Church of Christ in Oklahoma City has added a worship service that includes the use of instrumental music. The most vocal and vitriolic responses to be published in the paper have come from preachers among our Cups and Classes brethren, including Mac Lyon, the prominent speaker from the In Search of the Lord's Way radio and television ministries. He takes exception to Quail Springs' statement that the new service was, quote, a break from Church of Christ tradition, unquote. Lyon says in a story in February the 7th, 2008, quote, you see, it's not a break from Church of Christ tradition. Rather, it is a break from biblical tradition. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 15 exhorts Christians to stand fast and to hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by our word or our epistle, unquote. In a full-page paid advertisement on February the 6th of that year, there were four articles that were written by a group of preachers taking the Quail Springs Church and its minister to task for adding this service with instrumental music. Under the heading God's Silence, one preacher writes, quote, authority from God is expressed by what the scriptures say. Where the Bible is silent, authority from God is absent. This principle is expressed in the motto, we speak where the Bible speaks, and where the Bible is silent, we are silent. The principle also is expressed in the words of Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, when he says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. He continues, the principle of silence states that the authority is granted in the scriptures by what the scriptures teach. When men say, but the Bible doesn't say don't do this or don't do that, they're arguing from the silence of the scriptures that they may do that which the Bible does not authorize. And that is the sin of presumption and severely condemned in God's word. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10, unquote. Another preacher writes, quote, if it instrumental music is utilized, it is done so without Bible authority. It did not originate in the mind of God. Christ never used it in worship. The Holy Spirit never spoke of it, and the apostles never sanctioned it. The early church never employed its use. If you still favor it in worship, you have to go outside the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9, and enter the traditions of men, Mark 7 verse 13, for your authority. On March 19th, in another full-page paid advertisement in the Oklahoman, six more preachers offer arguments against the use of instrumental music and condemn the Quail Springs Church. They appeal again to the silence of the scriptures as condemning the church's action, and they give a brief historical perspective of instrumental music in the church. The irony of the entire exercise is that the very same arguments they continue to make against the use of instrumental music can be applied fairly to their own practices of individual cups in the communion and the Bible class arrangement of edifying the body of Christ. Paul says in Romans 2 and verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things." Solomon says in Proverbs 26 and verse 7, "The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools." In other words, just as a lame man's legs are useless to him, a man's proffering of an argument that is self-condemning is useless too. I respectfully agree with the aforementioned preachers concerning the silence of the Scriptures and the authority of God's Word. However, as long as they refuse to apply those principles consistently to the church, their logic becomes quixotic, in other words, impractical, and their vigorous protests are likely to be perceived as nothing much more than tilting at windmills.